for the kids. I think they're doing a great job. And I appreciate their willingness to help out in any way they can. We want to minimize my talking this morning so that we can get into the sermon and play a song for you at the end that I hope blesses you. I appreciate Donnie playing that song earlier. That's one of my favorite songs, and it brings a tickle to my funny bone when I remember Rob was a very quiet, reserved, dignified, almost elegant type of person. But when he sang that song, the Lord just took over and blessed him and blessed the church as a result. But the thing that made me laugh was he was always bringing these songs that were a little bit hard for us in a very small church to tackle. He didn't bring this one to us. He kept that one for himself because the Lord really ministered that song to him, and he did a tremendous job singing it. So thank you, Don, for playing that. We need the Holy Spirit no matter what we're doing, whether it's good times, bad times, or in between. We cannot live this in this world without the blessing of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the medical update first this morning. And believe it or not, these are Jim's exact words. Well, I've been all over the board this week. The doctor gave us a great report on our first two blood tests. This is from the bone marrow biopsy, having no cancer cells at all. But the third report did detect a very minute amount of cancer cells per million. And if I remember, it was like 158 per million, something like that. Very small amount, but they are still there. The doctors recommended not to continue with chemotherapy due to the severe, harsh side effects, but to use a different approach that is very new but has excellent results in attacking only the cancer cells and adding an immunity component to it, thus boosting immunity. This makes it much easier for the body to tolerate, and this is what will be starting in the next round in the near future. Unfortunately, there's been a bit of a setback in that my legs have been very weak and unstable, and the tests that were done on that were inconclusive, which was interpreted by the doctors as very positive news, but I still can't walk. I'll be following up with some specialists this week to further investigate, and we'll be having more aggressive physical therapy on my legs this week as well. I send you my continued love and prayers. And again, I want to say many, many thanks for all of your love, the food, the phone calls, the love, the cards, and the prayers. I want to be in service. I hope to be in service with you in the very near future. We talked about it for today, but it was just a little inconvenient, a little too soon right now with him not being able to walk at all. So pray for him that he can walk and gain the strength of his legs back. This is his message to the church this morning. The scripture that he's referencing is a very familiar one, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The context of this scripture is Paul giving thanks to the Philippian church for supporting him while he was on his mission trips. Paul wrote the letter on his first imprisonment in Rome. In the letter, he states, I know what it is to have both good things happen to me and bad things happen. The scripture puts that in perspective. The reason Paul could endure the good or the bad is because of his relationship with Jesus. just as Christ enables us to face the storm and come through it victoriously, so he also blesses us on those perfect days when all is well. In today's sermon, we will reference that Jesus heals the brokenhearted. We've all experienced a broken heart, but we've been sustained by his strength, and therefore we can also say with assurance that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God bless you. We'll play the sermon until a certain spot, and then we're going to stop it so that this other song can be played. And I hope you enjoy it and are blessed by it. There is a balm in Gilead.
Title is, There is a Balm in Gilead. Now, how many of you have found Jeremiah 8:22? The first line that you're going to see is there no balm in Gilead? And you're going to say, well, doesn't that guy know how to look at the scripture and keep it straight? I think I do, and I think I'm going to have something that'll be a blessing for you. But I just want to—I just want us to explain a bit the timing of this scripture, and a little bit of history, maybe a little bit of geography, a very little bit of history and geography, but hopefully a whole lot of the word. The scripture says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people?" I'm going to do the Amplified again. If you're upset with the Amplified, you're going to have to get over it, because I got a lot of Amplified going today. Jeremiah 8:22 in the Amplified says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? No change, is there?" That's the same thing as we read out of the New King James. But it says, "Why then has not the spiritual health of the daughter of my people been restored?" Now let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the power, the meaning. And I pray today encouragement to come to your people from this word. Lord, that you'll strengthen us, that you'll help us to just grasp a little tighter hold onto you. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to the needs, to the things that are bubbling in our soul. Touch us, God, and bring your healing and your restoration. And I ask this in the name of the Balm of Gilead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So the question that Jeremiah asks, and he asks it probably because his heart is broken. You know, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, and his heart was broken because of the deeds of Judah, of the group of people that he was ministering to those in Jerusalem mainly. Is there no balm? Is there no... Now, what is this balm? Not balm. Boy, I'll tell you, I hope I'm making it clear enough. Balm, B-A-L-M, was like an ointment or a medicine that came from the balsam tree. And it was kind of high-tech for that day. And as a matter of fact, it was high-tech for a long time. Because when, how many remember Joseph's mean brothers that sold him into slavery? They threw him into pit and were having dinner, right? They looked up and there's these Ishmaelites, and they were coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt, right? So they look up and they see and they say, "Hey, we have a better idea. Let's sell our brother instead of killing him." I'm glad they did that. That makes the whole story a lot more awesome, right? But this balm was something special that would help to heal a wound. But understand that the medicine you can make a whole argument about taking medicine. When I was growing up in the Pentecostal church, there were some people that didn't believe in taking medication. They felt like it wasn't faith if you took medicine. The thing that stands out most in my mind is a snake handling preacher in Kentucky I was in first grade. He got bit and he could have gone to the doctor and been saved, but he had faith and he died. And I always say, if there can be help and you don't take it, to me, that's a whole different ballgame. But understand that everything that's made and everything that the doctors use, God created it and gave it to us. And I I'm all for it. I go to the doctor and I try to listen to what I want to and take as much advice as I feel like I need to. And it's all good. So medication is fine. But medication does not reach to the spirit and the soul of human beings. In the Revelation, there's a scripture that says that you need the eye salve from God. Now, in Laodicea, they had a lot of good things. They were a very prosperous city. They had a cloth that they dyed purple, and that was a big deal. That was like a big designer thing in that day. And they had an eye salve that was amazing, that did wonderful things for people's eyes. But that eye salve did not open their eyes to who Jesus was. And Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy gold of me tried in the fire and white raiment that you can put on for righteousness' sake. An eye salve that you can see. So the balm in Gilead was pretty amazing. It was a good product. Kind of a funny thing, maybe. Maybe you'll think, well, if he thinks that's funny, there's something wrong. I read where that if a mother-in-law didn't care much for her daughter-in-law, she would tell her to put lots of this balm oil, this balsam oil all over, and then light a candle. The reason that you didn't light a candle is because this oil was very, very flammable, and it was a way of someone getting their evil deed done. I don't know why, but that kind of struck me. I'm thinking, boy, I guess people were ornery even way back then. But so don't put this on and light a candle. It's not advisable. It's unstable. But for healing wounds, it was amazing. It was like a miracle drug or a miracle product. I'm amazed at the medicines that we have today, and the descriptions they give is you're going to pretty much die if you take this. And yet we do, because we're hoping it works, right? But when it comes to the spirit and the soul, only Jesus is the medication that we need. In the book of Jeremiah 30 and 17, it says, "For I will restore health to you and heal your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, 'This is Zion, no one seeks her.'" So Israel, Judah, the nation of Israel, has been an outcast for a long, long time. Now, where all of these scripture, including the main scripture, I haven't got to the main scripture yet, but including that one is a forecast of millennial time, millennial reign. Millennial reign, in my understanding of the Word of God, I don't think it's just an opinion. I was going to bring my Pentecostal Church of God Bible and show you that healing is part of our belief. And it's strong. It's a very strong commitment to healing that the Lord is able to do. But also the second coming, and then the 7-year tribulation, the revelation of Jesus Christ coming back to the earth, saving Israel and restoring Israel. And during that restoration, millennial, kingdom age, whatever you want to call it, during that time, there's going to be blessing, prosperity, and healing is going to be amazing. People will be so live so well. Matter of fact, the prophecy says if someone dies at 100, they'll be considered an infant. So it's a good time, and I'm all for all of that, and taking reversing age and just getting stronger and being blessed. Thank God for that. Gilead was located east of Jordan, and the name Gilead means a pile of stones, a heap of stones that mark for a testimony, or a hill of testimony. So Gilead now is Jordan. It's in the country Jordan, taken from Israel, and I think unfairly taken from Israel. But when Israel is restored, everything that was taken is going to go back. Jesus Christ is going to set up his rule. I think of some of the city officials I've had to deal with getting building permits. This church had a big battle with one person, and unfortunately, she passed on, but we got our permit at last, and we were able to put our parsonage in. And so we're thankful for that. But when Jesus rules, you're not going to have that bureaucracy that's going to negate everything, but everybody's going to be blessed. Things will be done right, and the center of government in Jerusalem will be the most beautiful temple you've ever imagined, and beyond our imagination. But that's coming. That's in the future. And I believe with all of my heart that what Jesus did for us on the cross and the resurrection and the ascension and the setting at the right hand of God gives us hope that we can have the balm of Gilead right now. We don't have to wait for healing. We don't have to wait for restoration. We don't have to wait for strength. A couple of weeks ago, Debbie said, I want to put something on the little sign out there. How many noticed the sign? And so Debbie inspired that. We have trouble because we don't have that much space, right? We don't have that much space. So, but we try to get in as much as we can. And when people are going down the road at 90 mile an hour there, they can't read too many words. So if you're walking by, it's a little bit easier. But this comes from the 147th Psalm, and that's our main text. If you want to turn there, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And it says in God's word, for it is good to sing praises to our gracious and majestic God. Here I am again with Amplified Version. Praise is becoming and appropriate. So what we were doing this morning, worshiping God, is becoming and appropriate. The Lord is building up Jerusalem. He is gathering together the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. He counts the number of stars and he calls them by their name. There are over 40 sextillion stars. Anybody want to argue with that? That's a number that came up with a long time ago, even before the Hubble telescope or whatever spacecraft that is. There are a lot of stars. Jesus knows every one of them, and he's given them a name. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. He counts the number of stars, he calls them by their names. Great is our majestic and mighty Lord, and abundant in strength. His understanding is inexhaustible, infinite and boundless. The Lord lifts up the humble, he casts down the wicked. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises to our God with the lyre. Who covers the heavens with clouds? And who provides rain for the earth? And who makes the grass grow on the mountain? Debbie, you want to come and read your... Debbie wrote this and put it on our, I think, our Facebook page and our website. I don't know much about our website, but I'm glad that we have one. This is what Debbie wrote, and it correlates with what's on the sign.
Well, first of all, before I read it, in case you think we coordinated this, we did not. The Lord coordinated this. He had no idea what I wanted to put on the sign. I had no idea what he was preaching until a couple of days ago, and he said, would you read what you wrote and put on Facebook on the internet? And I said I would. So I called it, He Heals the Brokenhearted. And I hope I don't cry. Have you ever had a broken heart? Regardless of the cause, it really hurts, and it can affect all kinds of intricate human systems. Our emotions become fragile, bodily systems spin out of control, and even our mental stability becomes questionable. The pain causes us to turn our focus internally, and doing so blocks out all light. It impairs our judgment, and most especially, it obscures all hope for a better day. In Psalms 147, sandwiched between verses that are instructing Israel on the virtues of singing praises to God and the mercy God showed by gathering all the outcasts to his city, Jerusalem, stands verse 3. It declares that God is the healer of broken hearts, the binder of every open wound. The scripture reads, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds, the third verse. The greatness of the same God who numbers the stars and calls them by their name in verse 4, and he lifts up the meek and he casts down the wicked in verse 5, heals broken hearts. As followers of Christ, we know that our light, our stability, and our hope are found in the unspeakable gift of redemption that Christ so freely gave us through his death, burial, and resurrection. If your heart is broken, you can ask him to heal your heartache and bind up the bleeding, oozing wounds. He so loves the hurting, and he wants to lift up the weak. I hope you'll let him heal you today.
I thought since Debbie wrote it, she should be the one to share it with you. It touched me, and she's right. We didn't coordinate so much. I was thinking of the Balm of Gilead, but I had no idea how closely it tied into what she put on the sign. Because there are brokenhearted people. And just rubbing a salve or an ointment over that. I've got the oil of gladness, a little ointment that Audrey purchased for the church, and it's like a little salve. And it smells so good. Because it has myrrh and frankincense in it. And it's awesome. We use it for our anointing oil. And it's a fragrant and a nice, you know, probably olive oil based oil, but you can rub it all over yourself and it doesn't heal a broken heart. I can almost prophesy that you all have had a broken heart. I'll tell my story, and it almost seems insignificant compared to a lot. When I was 12 and a half years old, our church organized a youth group, PYPAs. How many seen our sign? And on the top it says something about PYPAs. You had to be 13 to be a PYPA. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much written in stone. And but our church was just getting this organized and sending it to Fresno, which is our headquarters. And it was a big deal when I was a young fellow. PYPAs means Pentecostal Young People's Association. I've had people ask me when I had my bright gold sweater on with the little PYPA world, you know, and it, so what's a pipa? And I said, you cannot call us a pipa. We're a PYPA. And we have a song. Brother Smith sang it, I think, while back. We are the members of the PYPAs. We're in this battle and we're here to stay. Routing out the devil, seeking souls to save. We are the members of the PYPAs. I'm sure every youth organization, group, assemblies, and Church of God and all have something that they sing and get in. My story is that I was 12 and a half and I was too young to join the PYPAs. There was another guy whose birthday was 2 months ahead and he got to join the PYPAs. Oh, I was crushed. How many, I mean, you know, just a little thing like that. But I didn't give up because eventually I got in the PYPAs and eventually I became the youth leader for the church and for the little section there, Bay City section, which is the San Francisco Bay Area, and a couple of other sections. I even became the pastor of that church. But sometimes when we get hurt, it stops us from doing anything further. The pain is just so great. Heartache, heartbreak. I won't even go into testimony of how girls can hurt you when you're a young man. I won't get into that. That's too sensitive to share. But there's a lot of brokenhearted people and depressed. Depression is such a bondage. And Debbie and I were talking about something the other day about bondage hurting so much and really taking away life. It sucks life right out of people when they're so obsessed with something that, and if it's a chemical thing in the body, all we can do is pray and seek God because God is able to bring healing. Someone said, well, I don't go to church because I've been hurt in church. And you know what I think? We've all been hurt in church. Matter of fact, if you're in church and you haven't been hurt, you haven't done anything. Because just as sure as you do anything. And I mean, it could be as simple as cleaning the church. Someone's going to complain. You could do something, create a dinner, and someone's going to complain. Well, I didn't get this or I didn't get that. It's difficult. But when we do things, we do it unto God. And we kind of have to let go and develop a little bit of a tough skin. And I am not, by any means, trying to excuse why your heart is broken or to take away from the depression that you might experience. I do know this, that during the millennial time, there's going to be a great move of God's Spirit, a great, powerful move of God's Spirit. And the devil's going to be taken away, and it's going to be a lot of singing, a lot of shouting, a lot of rejoicing in the Lord. But we've already experienced that in our church services. The Lord touches us every time we gather. And he'll minister to us and speak to our hearts and bring blessing and encouragement and so forth. The Lord is always present. But there are so many that carry such a broken heart. There's a song that's a very old song. Matter of fact, I went on YouTube and found Mahalia Jackson singing it. And it's called Balm in Gilead. And the song, now, I'm not going to sing it. You can praise God for that. And I can't sing it like Mahalia Jackson did. She does take a long time singing it. Every word is emphasized. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you can pray like Peter and if you can preach like Paul, go home. Or if you cannot, I should say, pray like Peter or preach like Paul, go home and tell your loved ones he died for all. It's a simple message. You don't have to be Peter or Paul to share it. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work is in vain, and then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Don't ever feel discouraged because Jesus is your friend. And if you lack knowledge, He will never fail to lend. I want to go back to that verse 3 in chapter 147, that he heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. And although I know that a lot of these scriptures point to a millennial time, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and set up a covenant that is better than what Israel is enjoying. Israel pushed Jesus away. I don't have any animosity towards Israel. I don't know, in some way or another, I kind of feel like we benefited. They pushed Jesus away, and Jesus went to the Gentiles, and we believe in him, and he has accepted us and brought us into the family. And we're going to be a part of bringing Israel back into the family. And we're all going to be together forever and happy in the Lord. But what Jesus has promised and what God has promised to Israel in the millennial time, we enjoy that right now. We immediately can be touched and our hearts can be mended. And Jesus can touch us in a way where you cannot find a pill or even a therapy that will do the job for you. If you listen to the commercials, there's a pill to take care of every problem in life. And sometimes, again, these create more problems than what they take care of. But when you and I come to the Lord, when we come to the real balm of Gilead, you know that Jesus went to Gilead, and when he went on the Sea of Galilee from Capernaum across the way, and he landed on the east shore over there, and there was a man that was the demoniac of Gadara. And Jesus was in that area of Gilead, and he cast every demon out of that man, put them into pigs. The pigs had sense enough to go drown themselves. And then Jesus got kicked out because the people who owned the pigs were upset. But the power that Jesus brought to the earth. We have a lesson tonight. I forgot to make the announcements. Tonight, church, 5:00, Bible study, the book of Luke. And we see part of that as some of these things as the lesson for tonight. And then Wednesday night, we're dismissing our service for a few weeks to see if that works better for people's schedule. We're trying to be accommodating and flexible. But getting back to the word, Jesus is the answer for our broken hearts today. Jesus took me through the broken heart of being not able to join the PYPAs. I won't mention the name of the other guy. It's all right. I remember it, though. I remember all of those people that wouldn't let me join, because it was really a pain. And there's other things that have come along that have been heartbreaks for us. And we've lost family members and friends. And it just is so hard to deal with. But the balm of Gilead is available to you today. And he can heal all of the brokenness, all of the hurt, all that has brought destruction and tries to take away life from you. And I do know people. I have an aunt that was brokenhearted when she was a young lady, and she lived her whole life kind of under a cloud. And she died at a fairly young age and really unstable because of such a hurt that came to her life. We don't have to do that. I believe she was a Christian. She was faithful to church more than anybody else around there. But Jesus can take the pain, and he can put a balm deep within your spirit and in your soul. As the song Balm of Gilead says, he can heal sin by covering it with his blood. And only Jesus can do that. He can heal the mind. He can heal the body. He can heal our psyche. He can touch our heart, and he can bring healing. When your heart is broken and when you feel that, how many feels like, oh my goodness, it's right there. It's a pain that's right here. It's so close. It It's almost suffocating how much it hurts. But the Lord is able to take that and to bring healing to you. There's another song that I want to share the words of it. And if I had been a little bit more on top of it, I probably could have played that for you today. It's, what's her name? Kim Coleman from Family Worship Center. And I just heard this last week. It's "He Heals the Brokenhearted." And there's a few versions of this, but this one really touched me. It said, "To the wounded spirit, he is your healer. He's your healer. The oil and the wine, a healing balm for every wound. I will open the door of your prison for those who are captive to go through. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captives free. He's life to the hopeless, and he's rest to the weary, and he binds up every wound. Like the first ray of dawn, I know without a doubt he'll be there. When all hope is faded away, he's an oasis in the midst of your desert, a place for the weary to rest." And I think that's so very important, that we, when we're hurting, that we come to him and open our heart for him to pour in the oil and the wine. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captives free.
Sometimes the way is weary, and folks just don't discouraged. Oh,
Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord Jesus, that there is a balm, Lord God, that is more than enough for our hurting hearts. And it's more than sufficient for any need we face, for any healing we need. We thank you that you sent your Son, and that the work that he did on the cross is final and complete. There's not a need that we have, or a need that we face, or a mountain that we need moved that you cannot move. We pray, Lord God, that this balm, Christ's healing power, Lord God, be on each and every heart that's broken, and on each and every sickness that requires healing. We thank you, Jesus. We pray that you bless each one here, that you go with us, Heavenly Father, and uplift hearts, and that in this Easter season, Lord God, we can keep our eyes to you, your resurrection power, and the completeness of what you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.